Jesus, again, help the learning to be about perfect for our spiritual condition, minds and hearts, to be different. To be different going forward, we pray today, because we've had an encounter with your Holy Spirit, who is present in our lives if we are born again, if we know you as Lord and Savior. So help us with that, Jesus. Your precious name, amen. If you, it kind of seems like if we're in a boat and we come across some big waves, that the front of the boat's going to tilt way up because there's nobody up here and everybody's in the back or the middle of the boat. If anybody wants to move to the front, that's okay. This is the splash zone because I spit a lot. This is the splash zone. And but behind row two, it's safe.
I've never been
splashed.
Oh.
No, just kidding, just playing. Okay. Okay, so whew, always nervous before the cartoon, but that's okay. Congratulations to our 10,000th repentant sinner. Just occasionally, Reverend Morgan wondered if he had gone too far in his quest for publicity. So there's something there. There's something there. I just want to know the people that say, that was funny, but they're not laughing. Was it really funny?
It's funny, but it's not funny enough to laugh.
Okay, and you guys fight about that later. Okay. Hey, we're talking about justification today. Justification today. Sanctification next week. Glorification the week after that. So this is the process that we go through as Christians. This is what we go through as Christians. If you're born again, if you've prayed to receive Jesus into your heart, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I turn from my sin to follow you the best I know how, even though I'm going to mess up a lot. But Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you arose from the grave. Please save me. You pray that prayer, he saves you. But we turn. Our mind has already turned towards him. We'll get into that later. And then he justifies you. It's a unique process, but we're going to learn about it today. So this is the beginning infancy stage of Christianity, of Protestantism. Protestantism, which is quite interesting. Under the Christian umbrella, we've got Protestantism, we got Catholicism. Different doctrines, same Jesus. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Not putting Catholicism down, just why we're different. And not to say that we go, we're right, you're wrong. No, we just are ready to give an answer for the hope that we profess that we have inside. And that's what we're looking to do. So today is justification. Justified. Justified is a legal term in this context. They call it a forensic. Say forensic. Forensic justification. It means that we're declared righteous, but we're still sinners. We're still sinners in that we still sin after we're seen as declared righteous by God and white as snow seen by the Father. That's why it's really unique and an amazing term. Justification, declared righteous. If you have friends who are not born again, who don't have a relationship with Jesus or family, if you have friends that don't have this relationship, are you yearning to witness to them? Are you yearning to pray for them to say, Jesus, I want Auntie M to be able to come to know you. Reveal yourself to her, open her eyes. Is that part of your life? It should be. It should be. As the disciples were given the great commission call to go and tell and teach and baptize before Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, that's an important message. But if I was to ask people individually, who are you praying for that doesn't know Jesus? And sometimes in my life, where did I put that list?
Hang on.
Did I tell you I was new? You know, we don't even know where it's at sometimes. Because we don't see movement, so it's like, yeah, forget it. But there's great celebration and rejoicing in this message of justification. Say justify. Now, if I get the Greek word right, and the way we're using it here today in the context forensically, it's dikaiō. Dikaiō. And so it means that we're right before Jesus, we're right before the Father, declared not guilty, but we're still going to struggle with sin. Doesn't matter. We're declared righteous. We're seen as white as snow before the Father. We're heaven bound. We're justified. If that's not a celebration, then what is? Is it a celebration? Is it truly a celebration? Okay, I need to get most of you saying, is it yes or no? Truly a celebration?
Yes.
Yes. Then you're willing to participate in this then. Hey, question. Once we make our conversion to trust Jesus as Lord and his forgiveness for our sins, what's the next step in Jesus applying his redemption process? Think about it. Once we make our conversion to trust Jesus as Lord and his forgiveness, so we're trusting Jesus as Lord, we're trusting him to forgive us of our sins. Okay, hang on. Good answers. Because that's Romans 10, 9, and 10. That's perfect. What's the next step? Let me give you some more hints here. Give you some choices. God then responds to our faith by declaring our sins to be forgiven. So which one of these steps, located in Romans 8:30, is the process of the next step in Jesus applying his redemption process after conversion to trust Jesus in Lord and praying the sinner's prayer? After that, what's the next step? I heard it. What is it? Justification. Justified. That's what we're talking about. That's what God does. It's like we go ahead and trust Jesus. We pray the sinner's prayer. We trust him for forgiveness. After that, step of faith. Then we've got justification made right. God canceling the debt. That's why it's important to pray for those people all around you, especially family members. It's like, I want to see Dad in heaven. I want him to know Jesus, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. I want to see Dad there, except on days when Dad and I are fighting. Then I'm like, yeah, God, I don't care what you do with him. But that's us. That's our human nature. And it's not very nice or polite. But we want to have this. Look down here. Called. Regeneration. So here, conversion, that word's coming back in the theological world when people trust Jesus as Lord and Savior to become Christian. Conversion's coming back. Conversion is the same as called. Because what we see in Romans 8:30, we see a process. This is what happens in our Christian journey. This is what happens in our pilgrimage. This is God's recipe. This is God's recipe, foreknown, predestined, called, justified. Today we're talking about, bless you, today we're talking about what? Justified. That comes after we pray the sinner's prayer. God justifies us. Future, glorified, Okay? We're not there yet. We're not there yet. So we'll be talking about that in 2 weeks. So as we go, called is regeneration. Regeneration. I pray to receive Jesus. I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells me that. Yes. Yes. Then, part of regeneration, new creation, is repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. No, it's just faith. It's just faith. I was really strong. I'm not putting repentance and faith together. But the text is too overwhelming. The text is way too overwhelming. If you look at 2 Corinthians 7, 9, and 10, write that down for later. Paul's expecting repentance. Somebody who's ready to receive Jesus. It's like we want to have in that text, verse 9 and 10, we want to have sorrow. We want to have sorrow for sins. We want somebody to go, I'm a sinner. I have trespassed God's law. I'm not doing His will. Lord, I'm sorry. I turn from that the best I know how to follow You. That's part of faith. That's part of coming to Christ. There's some skin in the game. Even though it's no works, no works, and at no time, if somebody says, yeah, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I really feel bad for my sin. I want Jesus. At no time do we judge repentance in terms of somebody coming to Christ. Oh, you're not shedding enough tears. If you would shed, Trevor, a few more tears, I'm ready to lead you in that. No, we don't judge that. We don't judge that. God in His time. But the idea is repentance. Case in point, let me just share with you. If you see a pair of glasses around, they're mine. We need each other, don't we? We really need each other. The Bible tells us that true repentance will result in the change of actions. Acts 3:19, Luke 3:8 and 4:8 through 14. The book of Acts especially focuses on repentance in regards to salvation. Now get this. The book of Acts focuses on repentance in regards to salvation. Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19, Acts 11:18, Acts 17:30, Acts 20:21, Acts 26:20. To repent concerning salvation is to change your mind regarding sin. What we want, faith in Christ alone, is the way to salvation. But we want to make people aware that the expectation in the Bible is that there'll be repentance. That there'll be a desire for that person to trust God. Because some people have an easy believism. It's like, oh, pastor got a nice car. I want Jesus. Okay, all the people, did you see there's some electric cars out there? And they're really nice, they're really new. It's like, I want to go to that church. I want that Jesus. Stop, no, that's not the point. That's not the point. So as we look at that, those verses are just key. Again, it's just faith in Christ alone. No works. But the Bible's expecting us to understand that we've got a sin problem and we need Jesus to come and forgive us, cleanse us for that, and that we would start to have an appetite for Him. That's what the book of James is all about. After salvation. After the free gift. After the justification. Just so we got that clear. No works. No faith by works. No, no, no. Let's go on. Justification is a legal declaration concerning the breaking of God's laws, stating and making us completely forgiven and no longer liable to punishment. So, I know I need You, Jesus. I need a relationship with You. Come into my heart. As Darlene was saying, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Jesus says who he is, who He says He is. Come and save me. He justifies us. Yes. Yes. No longer liable to punishment. We're free. So that day later, that day tomorrow, that day next week, from that time, it's like we're made right already. We're okay. Even though I've had a terrible week, Jesus says he's got me. That's in John 10, 27 through 29, just as we pass by there. No longer liable to punishment. Oh gosh. Punishment for what? What are you even talking about? Not guilty? What did I do? You might be new and going, what did I do? I'm a good person. I don't steal, lie, cheat, mess around on my spouse or my dog. I learned about that because you go loving on another dog, they get their hair all over you, you go home and the other dog has a little problem. Thank you for laughing. That was meant to be funny. Thank you. I was worried like 2% of you would like only engage me and indulge me with that. So thank you for that. Punishment for what? Punishment for what? Yeah, Bo. Bo would be one. Punishment for what? Here we go. Through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. And death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:12. So, we got the guilt of Adam imputed to all of us. Bah! Disgusting. We got his guilt to all mankind, all womankind, because of Adam's sin in the garden. It's like, wait a second. That doesn't seem fair. I'm a sinner. I'm born sinful because of Adam. According to that text, yes. Oh, we can talk more about that. So sin entered the world through, according to that Bible passage. Thanks, Darlene. How about everybody? Sin entered the world through. Blank immediately died spiritually. Thank you, Mercy. Blank immediately died spiritually. Oh, Jane. Adam immediately died spiritually. Blank relationship with God was broken. Adam's. Oh, good grammar. You put the S on there. Blank began dying physically.
Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So check this out. Check this out here. From now on, every person, from this time on, born, suffers the same spiritual and physical death and inherited Adam's sin nature. It's in the text. We call that the federal headship position. Adam was the human race's advocate, leader, the head, and he messed it up royally. And so sin spread to all. And it's like, wait a second. Wait a second. You mean to tell me my three-year-old? Mine. Mine. It's present. It's present from the start. It's present. Sin is present from the start. There's another position besides the federal headship position. And what this is just how did sin, original sin, affect everyone? The federal headship position is this, what we teach. There's another position, and it's called the seminal position. And I don't want to talk about semen this morning, so I'm going to leave it just there. But it is. It's the presence of all humanity was present in Adam, seminally. It's embraced. It's within the pale of orthodoxy. You can look it up at home. Don't look it up here and start giggling. No, we're not doing that. This is called the federal headship position that we're taking here that does that. Now check this out. Technology, aisle four. Jonathan, technology, aisle four.
Yay!
Do you know why my thing is thank you.
Just like this, and then
okay, no, it's good now. It's good now. Okay, so this means that we're born physically alive, but not spiritually alive. We're born physically alive, but not spiritually alive. We've got to know that. This is why Jesus says, and he came, told Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who didn't want to be obvious that he was following this rabbi teacher who he believed in. He came at night. He was part of the Sanhedrin, the royal court, the supreme court of the Jews. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now get this. Take a cue. Take an issue that's really prevalent today about being born again. I'm going to flash an album to you, and you tell me what you think, if you think it's a Christian album or a worldly album. Yeah, it's Lady Gaga. She sang at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Lady Gaga, she has a book, she has an album out, and it's called Born This Way. And I think the idea is that in homosexuality, that people are born that way. And I'm not gonna argue with her. We're born into sin. Trans, whatever, we're born into sin. That's why Jesus says we must be born again. Is that fair? No matter who. Yes, we love people that have an alternative lifestyle, same-sex marriage. We love those people. We want to tell them about Jesus. Transgender, LGBTQ. We love people that have chosen that lifestyle. And we want to tell them about the love of Jesus, because in time, their hearts and minds can be transformed like ours has, being born again. But it's just not any wonder that Jesus says you must be born again. And that's kind of like the remedy for everything, for life itself. Hey, let's review here. Justification, the legal declaration showing that we are completely forgiven and no longer liable to punishment. Did you know that justification, the antonym of being forgiven, declared righteous, is condemnation. Now, I got a question for you. I need you to think about it for just a minute, please. How about sins committed after my conversion? You get born again today. You invite Jesus into your heart today. You become a new creation. All the sins from the past up until now are forgiven. How about the sins this week you're going to struggle with and the habits? Same thing as your pastor. The things I struggle with. And I do. And you know I do. And I tell you, those of you that we meet and we talk, I tell you many of my struggles. And it's so refreshing, because James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us to confess our sins to one another. It's so helpful. But how about those sins? The future sins, are they forgiven in Christ? How do you know? How do you know they're forgiven in Christ? Well, look at this. Look at this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Our sin, that we accepted Jesus into our heart to pay our sin debt, were for sins past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Oh my goodness. No condemnation. Who brought us the revelation of justification by faith alone in Christ? Who brought us that? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, through the Apostle John. Jesus himself, God himself. But let me show you a game changer really quick. I'll show you a game changer really, really quick. Martin Luther. Now, not Martin Luther King. No. Different Martin Luther. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr. Okay, different person. Realized the truth of justification by faith alone in Christ that led to the Protestant Reformation. After posting his 95 thesis on the Catholic Church, which planted seeds about justification, By faith alone in Christ, he planted seeds in his 95 thesis that he nailed to the door of the church, the Catholic Church, lowercase c, Catholic Church. And he said, hey, I'm struggling doctrinally. He was a professor himself. I think he taught moral philosophy. But he struggled himself, and he was like putting this thesis up and posting it. You can like go online and see it, but he planted the seeds. This was a description of who he is. Defiant monk in 1517, enraged by the sale of indulgences that promised forgiveness. The church was selling forgiveness, buying indulgences. Talk about false teaching. Apart from repentance, sought to overthrow the Roman Catholic Church with his teaching of justification by grace through faith alone. Yes, he brought back what God intended from the beginning. He brought it back. He brought back the true teaching. We have so much to be thankful for, and we got to preserve that purity. Preserve that purity. Let me let you read another little bit of history on your own. I know you guys can read, so you don't need me to read it to you. Check that out. Be ready to answer the question in the blue in about a minute, please. Wow. A year later, after the 95 thesis, Martin Luther posted the Catholic Church, Protestantism. That's the church line we're in. Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist. That's the line we're in. Hey, how is justification by faith alone? How is this justification? How is this justification by faith alone? What does it say there? What does it say there? What does it say? Yeah, by grace. Grace says, believe in this and everything is already done. No works, no works, no works. Ha-ha! We come to Christ with nothing, and he gives us everything he does. Wow. Check these two verses out. What do they have in common? Look at it and tell me what they have in common. What do we have in common? Yeah, we're justified by what? Faith in Christ. Yes, absolutely. So as we go forward today, as we go about our day, let's have a time of reflection. A time of reflection here. C.S. Lewis said, look for Christ. Look for him today in your house. And if he's not present with your spouse or with your family, you be the Christ. You be the attributes of Christ to others. Because you can, and you have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. And so look for Christ, and you will find him. And with him, everything else. By faith. By faith. Hey, remember that faith and repentance, faith and repentance, faith and repentance? Guess what? That's going to be our mantra for the rest of our lives. Not to keep our salvation, but as Christians, when we mess up, we repent. 1 John 1:9, written to Christians. Oh, yeah. And so we've got this opportunity. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What's going on? Here's the tail of the tape. It's a little bit strange here. But check this out. How has being declared not guilty and demonstrating faith changed you? When we got here 9 months ago, we had 41 people here. We got about 15 people out today, so don't count that. But we had 41 members that voted on my wife and I to come here. And then the Lord has brought in 9 months 25 more people. How are we going to get them assimilated? How are we going to get them to come in to where they don't feel like there's cliques? To where they don't feel like things are established and they don't get to be a part of it? Because the original 41, they have everything set up. I thank Debbie. I thank you for Wednesday night teaching. I thank you for that because it's just everybody's open. Can come in. I'm thankful for Sunday morning, Jean, teaching. Anybody's welcome. And really, the groups are all welcoming, but it doesn't seem friendly when they're already established and they're bursting out the seams and so forth. So we've got it. Something I said? Jonathan? No. My picture's gone. I'm not worried about somebody leaving. No. So sorry. God bless you, Deb. God bless you. No. How has being declared not guilty and demonstrating faith changed you? That's the 41:25. How are we going to welcome other people? Just take them. Take them and do life with them. Trevor and I just finished a study on discipleship. 7 weeks. He blessed my socks off. He blessed my socks off. Rick and I just finished a study, 7 weeks, in the discipleship book. He blessed my socks off. We got to start looking at people, and especially new people that come in, and say, hey, you're valued. You're a part of the church just as much as everybody else. And we're together under Christ's umbrella. That's the challenge. What does he want to do in you? What does he want to do in me? What does he want to do to help new people come in, especially to come alongside a new pastor? I want to see who the remnant is going forward. It takes 5 years to reach a community, 3 to 5 years, the research says, in the church work and business. I want to see who's on board going forward. Join with us and do that. But have a purpose, have a ministry. Know your ministry, know your giftedness. In this time of invitation, we're not bringing the group back today. We're going to play a song by Cody Carnes. We played it Wednesday. It was a great prayer song. Take a moment and just reflect. What needs to happen? What needs to happen to get behind the mission and the bride of Christ to go forward and to start intertwining, intermingling, and bring everybody forward and together going forward? So important. So important. Every soul is important to me, important to Liz, way more important to Christ. So get comfortable. It's a little lengthy song, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. Get to a place you can pray. And as if you want to come to the altar and pray, that's okay too. But what God's doing, at the end of the song, we'll just ask somebody. We'll just ask a couple people, did God reveal to you anything by his Spirit that would be for the good of all of us to say, okay, going forward, we need to do this. Go forward, we need to do this. The Holy Spirit's alive, folks. And he's working. And we're really excited about it. That's why during worship, we want people to have the freedom to come up and sing. We're a new work in progress. And it's going to look nothing like it did. And that's okay. And some things that remain the same, that's okay. But that's what Jesus does. He changes things. Just look at his life in the Gospels. It's on point with him. Jonathan, would you start that song?
Keep them off, wouldn't mind. Is there anybody here, and just stay praying for those that desire?
Is there anybody here that needs a relationship with Jesus, that wants to be justified, knows without a doubt, I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry, and I need you, Jesus, to come into my life and heart? Anybody here that needs me to pray, lead you in that prayer, just lift up your hand if that is the case. We don't want to skip anyone. It'd be tragic. the Holy Spirit saying, lift your hand. The devil saying, don't. You're having a little fight in your little mind. If there's anybody here that needs to pray that prayer, let's do it now. Okay, so no, I don't see any hands up. So everybody's born again. Everybody has a relationship with Jesus. Don't leave here without Him. If you need to come forward, if you need to have Jesus in your heart before you leave, make sure you talk to myself or someone up at the front before you leave. Next week we're going now justified. We're going to sanctified. What could God have possibly have meant going from justifying us now to sanctifying us? That's sanctifying us. That's step two. So God bless you. Dave, would you get the lights, please? God bless you today. Thanks for being here today. It's delightful, delightful to worship together. And that's if there's five of us or there's 50 of us. It's delightful. And we'll keep going because Jesus empowers us. Again, if you have anything to come forward and talk to, myself or anybody about for prayer, come forward. Let's give Jesus a hand clap because He is amazing. Amazing. Okay.